And the voice of reason in the medical field, my good friend, Dr. Fred Brown of Griffin Health is here. Hey, Dr. Brown, how you doing?
Good. How are you, Melissa?
I'm doing just fine, thank you. I've got a couple of things on my plate here that I wanted to tackle with you. First of all, I'm sure you have noticed that we are seeing an uptick in Connecticut. Nothing crazy, but we are seeing an uptick nonetheless of coronavirus cases. Now, I know that Griffin Health was super prepared for a possible swing in cases, but I'm seeing hospitalizations are back on the rise. We're back in the 70s across the state of Connecticut. What are you finding at Griffin?
So we are seeing a little bit of an increase, but not much.
Okay.
We're seeing, I mean, we've gone from, at one point we were an average of about zero to one. We're probably seeing closer to two.
Okay. So
about two. So it's not, I mean, I think there's the slow increase. And again, I don't know if, remember, the west side of the state got hit a little bit harder in the initial, you know, initial wave. I hate to call it a wave, but initial wave. You know, the other side of the state seems like it's getting quite a few. So I think that's also what you're probably seeing skewing the numbers a little bit.
Okay. Now, what is your take? We have, you know, the teachers union on one side saying, listen, we need stricter guidelines to figure out when you want us to shut down schools, when you want us to keep them open. The governor saying, listen, if you can cohort, you shouldn't be shutting down the schools. So it's a whole rigmarole, which is understandable. But
absolutely,
from a medical point of view, when you're talking about cohorting, I find that the concept is fantastic. Love this concept. But when you're talking about hundreds of kids stuck in a building, you know, do you believe that when you have a positive case that, you know, that the teachers do, you know, they're kind of coming from a good place where we probably should shut the whole school down in case, let's just say that child ran into someone at recess that they didn't intend to or wasn't in their cohort or ran into someone in the hallway or, you know, went out to get a drink of what, whatever the case may be, or had a play date with somebody who's not in their cohort over the weekend, whatever the case may be, you know, from a professional standpoint, how easy is it from one positive case for that to literally spread like wildfire? And then you do have a bigger problem outside of cohorts.
So interesting enough. So obviously the hospitals have been dealing with this, you know, since March and April. So we've had a lot of, now we've had a lot of experience with this. And remember, we were dealing with the sickest of the sick.
Right.
So we know people who are confirmed positive, you know, people who are actively ill, you know, very sick, producing lots of virons, so really infectious. So even within the hospital itself, you know, there was you know, no spread to employees from patients. So that being said, and by taking proper precautions, you know, I think that's really what's going to be really important. I really don't believe, and again, this is my opinion, I really believe that, you know, we need to continue to stay at school. We need to continue to socialize. You know, we can get really crazy with this and say, okay, you know what, you know, this could spread it this way. And it can be, you know, all of a sudden it could be like wildfire, as you said. That's actually not the case. We haven't seen that happen. What we've seen is that if we have people who, you know, break down from the infection control practices, for example, you know, they don't wear their masks. We find that, you know, college students who go to parties or bar hopping or something along those lines come into multiple people who are not wearing their mask, you know, for a little bit of a period of time, then those are the areas that we're getting the most concerned about. Those are the areas that we're getting the spread. That's the biggest issue. So children, you know, I think it's important that we take proper precautions if someone does become positive. But again, keeping them together in cohorts and contact tracing, I think that's optimal. I really do.
Okay. Talking this morning with Dr. Fred Brown of Griffin Health. And as you talk about kids, let's go a little bit younger than the elementary school kids. Let's talk about three-year-olds. So I know you and I have talked about this a couple of times because my son is two, and I've just personally come to you with my own panic attacks. But
absolutely.
So I'm seeing that on September 21st, Beth Bye, the Commissioner of Early Education, has decided that three-year-olds are going to have to start wearing masks when they go to daycare. It's mandatory. They have to go unless they've got a pre-existing condition, unless they've got special needs. Basically, they're going to have to wear masks. There will be mask breaks, so on and so forth. What is the necessity of having toddlers wear masks? Like, I think there's a split. There's a divide on this one. I think for some people, like for me, my weird thing was that it's just sad. It makes my heart sad that I watch my son wearing a mask. I think that's really what it is. The actual concept he's getting better with it. It's taking a little bit of time, but I think that's what I had a hard time coming to grips with. And then once I let it kind of go and I realized, okay, but if he's going to ever be normal again and go out in society, he's got to wear a mask. Once I got over that, I was fine with it because I realized the kid sneezes and doesn't cover his mouth because he's two.
Right.
But could you talk about maybe if we don't take action with this, if we don't have three-year-olds wearing a mask, how easy is it for them to just spread germs to other people?
So interesting enough. So yes, we have had conversations back and forth about this, and the CDC has changed their stance on it a couple times.
Yeah.
Most recent, I just looked at it last week after we spoke, in fact. Last week, I did notice that it is back to anyone younger than 2 years old do not need to wear a mask. Now, there's two pieces that are associated with that. One is that it looks like COVID-19 is mostly spread by respiratory, so close contact between two people. That seems to be the biggest issue. And that's why, as adults, if two people are wearing masks, the likelihood to spread is less than 1%. It's mm-hmm. very low. For children, it's not going to be as clear. Now, remember, they're smaller. Their lung volume is less. I mean, just using basic logic, knowing that they're not really going to be able to sort of spread it to other people is sort of in my mind the likelihood. So, again, if they don't have 100% compliance with masks, I'm not necessarily worried about it. Again, I know it is tough for a three-year-old to be wearing a mask. That being said, there are going to be a lot of other viruses that are going to be coming out. It is that time. You know, it's getting cooler. We're starting to close the doors on our houses, closing our windows, not spending as much time outside. And now all of our children are starting to go back to school. So what's happening is that we are going to get other viruses that are going to start floating around. October becomes a pretty big month for a cold, cough, flu-like illness. And children at that age have a tendency to spread it around, which is, again, not a bad thing. That's actually how we build up our immune system and become healthy adults. But again, I think that's going to be the area that we need to be very careful about. And just be aware that that is going to happen, and we just need to make sure that we're not panicking that it's, an outbreak of COVID-19.
Mm-hmm. And I'm wondering, too, Dr. Brown, if we see that our flu numbers are down because kids are now wearing masks in school, I'm wondering if that's going to become a protocol, especially for, these younger kids where, let's face it, anyone who puts their kid into daycare literally has said to me point blank, Melissa, it's like a cesspool of germs. I mean, you're just going to get sick from your kids because they're all around each other and they're gross. And I love that.
That's exactly right.
So, I'm wondering.
Exactly right, Melissa.
Yeah, I'm wondering if our numbers are down this year, though, because, we are wearing masks for the first time in schools and they're mandatory, if that's going to become like a thing of the future, that even if COVID is under control and there are vaccines, I'm wondering if with the flu especially, if we see our numbers are down because of the masks, if they're going to make kids keep wearing them.
Yeah, that's a great question. My personal opinion is that we probably won't continue masks. At one point, the masks are probably going to disappear. But I think we're all going to remember the pandemic of 2020. I think we're all going to have that in the back of our mind and the likelihood that, a virus can spread from person to person. And I think we're going to have sort of heightened alert periods where, we hear about a virus that's spreading somewhere in the world. I think all of us are going to be a little bit more cautious next time. I think we're all going to be, okay, where are my masks? Where's my hand hygiene? Where's my Purell? Are we ready to go? I really think that's sort of, I think there's a, it's a new age, and I think this is where we're going to have, a heightened alert for the little microbes that can cause a lot of harm to us.
Mm-hmm. Dr. Fred Brown of Griffin Health, always appreciate talking to you. Thank you so much, and we'll talk again next time.
My pleasure, Melissa. Have a good day.
You too.